Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I guess it ain't going to play. Well, welcome to Terrifier Radio. A little bit late on the start, but we are here. I'm Paranormal Outlaw, the Mouth from the South, and joining me, as always, is Miss Jody Parks. What's going on, Jody?
How you doing, Kevin? I mean, Outlaw.
Yeah, Outlaw, Kevin. It's whatever. The whole Paranormal Outlaw is just a way to poke fun at some of the haters out there for me.
Oh, okay. Drum roll, please.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on, drum roll. Hold on. Can we find one? Go ahead.
But anyway, that's where the whole outlaw came into effect, you know, some of the drama out in the paranormal field. And, they wanted to treat me like an outlaw, so, hey, that's fine. I'll be an outlaw, damn it.
Yep, aren't we all outlaws? Just some of us don't get caught, okay? I know, I've done so many crimes. I have committed so many goddamn crimes, it's not even funny. And I will continue to do so. And I will just go into the church and ask for forgiveness.
Right.
Every day people commit crimes, whether it's, you know, not driving properly or, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Logged. Yep.
Well, so we already have our guests on hold, and we'll bring them on here just in just a few seconds. But how was your weekend? Because I always do that every week.
God, I don't even know what the fuck happened. I don't know. It must not have been that exciting because I don't have a story for you.
I was going to ask you how your ghost cams are doing. How's that all?
Oh, my God. They're having major malfunctionings with decoding. And this guy is supposed to come look at it and hopefully get it up and running because I have, like, 5 other locations that want to get the cameras up. So, I think that, you know, kind of sucks that he jumped the gun on that one. But there's not really shit that I can do about it. And that's all I can say, babe. I mean, you know, drag Ola on that one. But hopefully we'll have it up and running soon. And I will go back there and do another event probably, promote the place. It was a cute little place.
Yeah.
Very nice. I had a good time there.
Sweet. Well, let's go ahead and let me briefly talk about them. I got a little bio here. Nice guest of the All-Girl Paranormal Society. Their goal is to prove the existence of the paranormal. By doing research and collecting evidence, they can prove life goes on to ease the fear of death and give individuals peace of mind and comfort knowing that we do go on after this life. You can find them at www.allgirlparanormalsociety.com. And we will bring them on now.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
How you doing, Jordan?
We are good.
How many are with you guys?
What was that?
How many are with you?
Right now, tonight, we just have Lori and I. We're having a snowstorm here, one of those spring snows. So it's just Lori and I. We're the founders. So it's just a comfy little cozy me and Lori with you.
wonderful. Where are you guys at?
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm getting ready to come to Colorado here soon for a trip. That's my next trip. And while I was there, I was like, I'm going to, I'm going to be in Denver. And then I have to do a drive up to, let me look it up. Oh, snap. I know it's like within 2 hours from Denver.
Well, we are 70 miles south of Denver.
Yeah, I was kind of wanting to squeeze in a investigation while I was there and have some fun. You know what I mean?
Where are you going?
My trip is, I don't know. We haven't booked it yet, so I am clueless as to the dates. But I'm going to be pretty busy while I'm there. But I still want to maybe just stay an extra night and hunt one night, go somewhere. I think that would be fun.
Figure out your dates, figure out your time, and get a hold of me and see if we can't take you out.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, okay, I know, I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to be the second, because we have to go for a drive, and, where the hell we're going to go to. But I think it's within an hour and a half to 2 hours. And you said you're in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, it's 70 miles south of Denver.
I kind of have a feeling. Is it pretty, like, up in the mountains, not too much going on?
No, we're the mountains. I'm thinking if you're going 2 hours from... 2 hours from Denver is going to take you almost to New Mexico coming my way. So if you're going 2 hours somewhere from Denver, you're heading up into, you know, Estes Park, Fort Collins, really somewhere like up in there. So, no, we're not in the mountains proper. We're down more in the valley, I guess, if you will.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
what are your favorite places around there in your area?
Oh, there are so many, but one of the best that we do is we are exclusive to, there's 3 bed and breakfasts in Manitou Springs, Colorado. Manitou Springs is known to be highly haunted all throughout it. And there are 3 bed and breakfasts there that we do. And one of them, the name of it is On a Ledge, and it is deliciously haunted. And the spirits know us. They love us. We've done it many, 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 many times, built a relationship with the spirits. They never disappoint. They always come out. They're very responsive spirits. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic place.
Nice.
And there are many more that we do around here. I mean, Colorado Springs is pretty small in comparison to Denver, but there's some nice places around here. We have some nice places that we go because we like to. Unless it's a residential, we're not really one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
Even residentials, we try, if we can, to go back more than once because, you know, we find spirits are just like people. If I don't know you and I don't like you when you come to my house, I may not talk to you at first either. So
yeah.
We try to go back so we can build relationships and a trust, if you will, with the spirits of the place.
Okay, it says here in my thing that we have to drive up the Rocky Mountains.
That could encompass a lot.
Yeah.
That's a big range. That's a big range.
I don't know exactly where the hell is where we're going, but I can't tell anybody where I'm going. And I'm like, I'm getting into some cool stuff. But
well, there's some, you know, each way you're talking.
Wait, it says right here, it's in Colorado Springs, dude. That's where I'm going. That's why when you said that, I was like, it kept like, so yeah, is that?
Well, that's where we are.
Oh, well, I'm
so you're going
there for the day. Like, we're driving there, and then we're touring a place, interviewing, and then we're done. And I think we're going to go just, like, out to dinner. And that was kind of going to be the end of, like, it was the second day. But, yeah, I wanted to, like, get something in while there.
Well, figure out your schedule and let me know, and we'll see if we can't get you someplace tasty.
So you have a bed and breakfast that, like, I could stay at the bed and breakfast in that area?
Yeah, he's, yep, there's, yeah, yes. I mean, there's three of them there, depending on which one that he would do. And basically, when we go, you know, we pay for the room for the night so that we have, you know, a place to put all our stuff and our crap, and we can mess it up all we want. And then, you know, we can stay all night if we want. We don't, because it's, you know, 20 minutes from our house, and I want to come home and sleep in my own bed. But, yeah, we have the place for the whole night. So if you wanted to crash in there, that wouldn't be a problem.
I'm coming with, like, really important people. Scared. Like, people that have nothing to do with paranormal people, but paranormal fields, but they are important people. And so I want to take them, and they're like, well, you're going to have to get me a couple drinks in me. I was like, that can be arranged. Then you'll, like, turn into a rock star, you know?
Well, the bed and breakfast I'm talking about, the spirits there aren't nasty. They're not mean. They're beautiful. They're wonderful, but they're very responsive. So may not scare them too much. No one's going to come out and jump out and say boo, but they're definitely going to get some things that go bump in the night.
Are there any that are a little bit more on the aggressive side?
Yeah. I have another building that is pretty on the aggressive side when it wants to be. You know, sometimes we go in there and they decide to be real pissy and, you know, don't do much at all. And sometimes we can go in there and that's it. They come out to play, and they come out to play hard. You know when you do it, it kind of depends upon the mood that they're in, too.
Yeah. So do you guys do a lot of, you do a lot of personal cases as well as just, like, going out in the area and finding stuff?
Oh, many. I mean, that's why we started this, was for the residentials, for the families that are scared. You know,
yeah.
My kids are now. And, you know, we get calls. We get on the average of probably 4 calls a month for residentials.
Wow.
Where, yeah, the kids are now sleeping in my room. My husband wants to move out. You know, I can't sleep. I can't move. I can't, you know, just terrified. Very, very seldom is it, I'm just curious and I want to know what's going on. Most of the time it's people who are absolutely petrified and want to find out what's going on and clear it out. So that's why we started this whole thing. The big places are all fun and well. That's what we do for, you know, our training and you know, the not-so-intense side of it. It's still serious, but not-so-intense side of it. You know, there's a difference between a big abandoned building and a residential that has people and lives and feelings involved. So, but, you know, we have
Absolutely.
It all the way around. Yeah, but we have it all the way around, and then we try once or twice a year, we try to find someplace big, like out of state, that we can all pitch in the money for and go and do one of those big places with the big name and
cool.
You know, the big thing, like, you know, because that's what we do. We do it. Lori and I do this 24/7. We both, I think I told you guys last time, we both retired from our respective careers to do this 24/7. And, you know, we did some things with some money, invested wisely. I have wonderfully supportive parents who, you know, when we're, you know, can't pay the utility bill because we went and rented out a building, you know, they help us out. But they know this is our passion.
Yeah.
My father still can't understand why I won't charge for this, and I don't think I'll ever make him be able to understand, but that's a whole other story for a whole other day.
Oh, I understand. I don't either.
Well, I think it's unethical. I'm a retired paramedic, and for me to charge.
Well, you know what? Especially for clients, like if somebody calls me up and they want me to travel and do like an appearance at an event or something like that, I can't just go around doing that. You know what I mean? And so, if their event would like to pay for me to go, then I'd be glad some. Other than that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I tell my dad, and I agree with you there. I mean, if people, you know, if we ever were to get that blessed to where someone would want us to do an appearance like that, well, yeah, we'd have to talk about the money. But, you know, it's like I'm a retired paramedic, and I can no more, even though I'm not active anymore, I'm not on a rig, if you fell down and had a heart attack in front of me, I really can't stand over you and say, well, yeah, I can save your life, but what's in your wallet?
Right.
And it's the
same
thing with
people. And you're helping, you know, and you can't, shit, not everybody has it and they need help.
Exactly, but my Cuban father, I just can't make him understand that.
You know, I don't think anybody will understand the ghost business. It is, you know, pretty much you're not going to make any money, you know, unless you're selling books and, you know, you're putting together events and you're bringing in a crowd and you're raising money for your groups. I mean, there's ways to make money, but it's not going to make you rich, you know. It's one thing that I've learned is actually will kind of hold you back in life if you focus too much on it.
Oh, absolutely. I think money is the root of all evil is what I think.
Mm-hmm. And there's definitely not enough money in our field going around that offers people like you money for that, you know, to go out and help
people.
Well,
plus it's kind of we look at it kind of this way too. I mean, when you go to Walmart and you walk in the door and you pay them $20 for a pair of shoes, you're walking out with your pair of shoes. Well,
yeah.
If you call me in to do your house, and my team and I, Lori and I and the team, we all go in, and I can't promise you that I'm going to solve your problem right then.
Right.
And I can't give you that. So how can you ethically charge for something that you can't promise right then you can produce?
And you're getting the satisfaction of going and researching what you love to do. So it's not like a job. You're doing it. It's like a sport. You enjoy it. You know, it's your passion. It's your love. It's like fishing. That's what you would like. That's what you want to be doing. And you're willing to buy the equipment to do it. You're willing to, you know, pay the money to go do that because that is what you're passionate about. It's all about
and
the passion.
It's the best, you know, and it's we're so fortunate. You know, Lori and I are so fortunate. It's that thing where, like you said, you know, when people retire from their jobs, they want to retire and, like you said, fish all the time or hunt all the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We were able and blessed enough to retire from our respective careers and do this 24/7. And it is, it's our passion. It's we eat shit and breathe it. And that's what we do.
Yep, I do too. I've kind of backed off from the field a lot. Kevin kind of has too. I don't know. In some circles, this can be a very dangerous place. There can be some backlashes a lot.
Yeah, we're finally running into. I'm gonna go ahead and claim the outlaw title too because we finally have some haters. I suppose when you have some haters, you're doing something right. But we finally have some haters and been getting some backlash. So, you know, I don't know why it is in this field that they want to eat their young. I just don't understand where the competition comes from.
Well, you know, I purposely cause shit storms and I put out bad stuff just to fuck with them because I can't help myself. And so, you know, I bring on my bullshit. I bring it hard, and I laugh about it. I sit at home and laugh because I know they're shaking their head going, that fucking nutbag. Like, you have no idea, dickhead. I'm sitting here cracking the fuck up, putting this together, knowing you're going to shit your pants when you see it. You know?
Girl.
What they don't know is that, you know, privately, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but I kind of crossed over to working with private investigators and actually working on, like, cold cases and going into, like, murder scenes. Really bad shit, man. and trying to help find answers for the families.
It's funny that you should say that. That building that I alluded to, where they can be rather nasty if they choose on a given night, is a building here in Colorado Springs that one of the most famous serial killers that ever came through Colorado Springs, it was his hunting ground. And there
nice.
Is a cold there's a cold case there that we are working on information about, and actually have made contact with the spirit of the woman. We've got her video and pictures. It's cool, based on the police reports and the pictures of her. We've captured
yeah.
her. We've captured her on film. And he's in jail right now here in Colorado. He's spending the rest of his nice little life here at one of our maximum security prisons here. And Lori, who right now is in school for psychology and parapsychology, is considering actually, you know, maybe writing this guy and seeing if she can't do a little profiling on him and you know, what kind
writing
of...
Writing a book. You could write a book.
Sick son of a bitch that he was. Oh, he's... The two murders that he was convicted of for here, he's been convicted all around the United States. But the two that he was convicted of here are the one of the woman out of that building and then another 11-year-old little girl here in town. They're just brutal. He's just brutal.
Yeah, the one I did one recently, and it was pretty bad. Like, there was blood splatter all over the place. This woman fought for her frickin' life, and in the end, they cut her face off, cut her head off, tied her up, and burnt her to death, put her on fire.
Jesus.
And I was, yeah, it was pretty weird being in the house and seeing that, like, you know, it was like, holy shit. And I actually narrowed down two names that had to do with two suspects. So they were kind of like, wow. Before I even walked in the building, I was yelling. I just kept saying this one name, this one. And I didn't know what it meant, And then at the end of it, he was like, so that's the last name of our first suspect. I said, shut the fuck up.
That's cool. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't put that stuff out there. I don't tell people, you know, that I'm doing that stuff. And I just put out all of my crazy stuff because I just like to, I'm just a shit disturber, okay? I just really hate the paranormal field. I really hate the paranormal field, and I think that they need to fucking lighten up. You know?
Yeah, just so you know, Jody, what she's talking about is a lot of her investigation footage from, you know, locations that she rents out. And Jody's rather aggressive, especially with asshole male spirits. If there's a history of some kind of male spirit at the location that's nasty to people or pushes them, scratches them, whatever it might be, Jody goes in and goes right at him. And
that's why she's our kind of girl, because that's what Lori and I do. And we do that especially at this building with this guy.
I look at it like this.
There's a nasty guy in there. We call him Mr. Nasty Pants because we can't get a name from him yet, but we go in there and just provoke the hell right out of him.
Yeah, because you know what? During his time, probably women were scared of him, wouldn't talk to him like that, wouldn't even dare. So go in, throw your balls to the wall, and fucking get it out of him. You know? You're going to piss him off, and you're going to get the reaction. Like, what the fuck are you doing there? You know what I mean? Like, it's not a client's place. It's a place that you're going to hunt with your team, right?
Right.
So it's a whole nother ball game. It's not the ball game of, okay, we got to worry about this kid or this dog or, you know, the husband or whoever the fuck is getting haunted. You know, it's not a situation that you're trying to help. This is a situation that you're going in with your friends and you can fart and record it, videotape it. You can laugh about it. and edit it later, you know, in or out. It's supposed to be fun, enjoyable, but also know what the hell you're doing. Like, if you're pushing it too far and you know you have, and, like, it doesn't feel good, you got to get the fuck out, you know? Know your limit.
I mean, that's what we do, and we love it. Hell, the asshole threw something at Lori last time. Pissed me off. And then I ran, and he just cold-cocked something at her from the middle of a room. Just it came flying out. Like, it was a... It used to be a bar. Huge bar here in Colorado Springs. Huge. I mean, this whole place has been... I'm 50 years old, and it's been more things than I've been alive. And they just can't keep anything in there. Well, the biggest thing it was a bar. Country Western bar. And in the back of it, they had what they call a bullpen, because they would actually bring in the PBA rodeo rider dudes and their bulls. Mm-hmm. So they call it a bullpen, so it's just nothing but dirt. And the people that are using the building now just have storage in their wood, you know, different things that they use for, you know, the events that they use it for. So just crap in there. And she got that asshole to throw something at her. So then that gave me the cue, so I stood up doing the big, you know, you're going to throw something at my wife, are you? You know, I thought I was all big and bad and got my ass stuck in the middle of that bullpen with no flashlight and nothing. And he had a field day with me because I was stuck, because I ran in there like an ass without a flashlight or any light, and there I was stuck. So it was rather fun. I loved it.
Nice.
I loved every second of it. Don't get me wrong. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, Jody, back a couple years ago, Jody had a team that was Paranormal Hot Squad. They had all girls and good-looking girls. And, you know, when they started doing their thing, and even Jody ended up on Paranormal Challenge and whatnot and brought spotlight to Paranormal Hot Squad, they caught a lot of flack, you know?
Oh, my God. For
being an all-girl paranormal team, and at the same time, they're all, you know, hot. You know, they can be models, whatnot. But they love what they were doing, and they got
we
just...
We caused a shitstorm, Kevin. Let's be for real. I mean...
yeah.
We caused a shitstorm.
Yeah, we just got plastered for our name. Some people were, you know, plastering it all out there that it was questionable and that we were using it as a tag and that we were using it to exploit and yada, 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 because it's all girl. It's like, oh, give me a break.
Like, you know, why can't... Okay, like, seriously, this is how it went down. I became a ghost hunter because of my son. I bought a haunted house, okay? So I started seeking answers. I went and didn't really join a group. I just kind of hunted with different groups here in St. Louis. And my girlfriends were all like, oh, my God, I want to do what you're doing. I'm like, okay, well, they're like, you got to have a name. They came up with the name. They came up with the logo. I didn't like it. I was like, you guys, you know. And they were like, no, we love it. We love it. Well, they didn't think it would, you know, like, take. And it fucking blew. And the next thing you know, like, TV came a-knocking, and they were like, yeah, no, Jody, we just wanted to, like, have fun and do it. We didn't want to get on TV. So, yeah, then I started meeting girls in the paranormal field. And I've met a lot of crazy bitches. I don't know what to say. Some have caused major shit storms, and some have become great friends, you know?
Wasn't it just, did you run into, this is what we got to along with the name? We have, you know, we've been on TV. They approached us, and hell, we'll take it. You know, we'll take the exposure. We'll take it. We're not fools, if you will, but it's not something that we went looking for.
Right.
Well, these same people that are trashing the all-girl name are saying things like, well, what, how many headshots? Do you send out headshots like actresses? You know, do you send them to all the production companies and shit like that? No, we've never done that. Our work speaks for itself. Our evidence speaks for itself. Our doctrine, our philosophy, our mission statement, if you will, obviously spoke to someone and they were interested. You know, so we took up the opportunity and took it. But it just amazes me how once you have one little piece of what someone would consider success, it just turns into a boatload of crap for everybody else.
Yeah, I was being continuously verbally abused in every way. I mean, it was just like every day coming at me. And every day, me and my team fighting against shit. And it just got to the point where I got so tired of it. I just literally said, guys, I'm shutting it down. I'll still hunt with you guys, but, like, I'm shutting the name down. People can't handle it, you know?
And it just makes no sense to us, you know? It makes no sense to us whatsoever. You know, we were... I was flabbergasted when I saw it. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, Lori says all the time, there's enough spirits in this world to go around. You know,
there are places everywhere. Yes. I mean,
constant.
But you know what? Everybody has an opinion about how you're supposed to do it. And, you know, I am pretty vulgar and, I purposely do funny shit just because I'm a retard. I'm just a dork, you know? I'm just not normal, so it gets recorded. And then I put it out because I think it's funny. And then it's kick-ass when something fucking really amazing happens, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you capture something awesome in the fun. Ghost hunting can be so boring. You could be there
for eight hours
with your thumb up your ass. You may as well be silly and funny and have a good time with your friends.
I absolutely agree, and that's what we try to, you know, people will come, you know, calls, emails, you know, I want to do it. You know, and so some people we'll meet with, some people we just say, yeah, well, we'll get back to you, yeah, okay, right, okay, you bet. But
yep.
Some people, you know, we'll meet with, and that's what we try to tell them. It's not what you see on TV. It absolutely is not what you see on TV all the time.
No.
Now, I can't tell you how many times Lori and I will be on an investigation, and she and I will go up to a room, and we'll be sitting there talking between us, and we'll be half asleep in the chairs or whatever, and we'll just call out on the walkie-talkie to the team, go ahead and take longer, guys. Have fun. Go out, and we're up there snoozing. It's like, did you pay the cable bill? Yeah, trash goes out tomorrow. Okay, you know, I mean, it's not what it is on TV, and people don't get that. Just don't get it.
Yeah, so...
You know, but
like,
I'm probably going
like
to get backlash... Probably going to get backlash for saying that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, that's why I like to use my imagination when I go in. And it's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it different? How am I going to piss people off also?
And it's funny that, you know, being a retard, I mean, that's me. And it never fails. It's those times when we're up there doing whatever. Like this last place we went to, Lori looks right at me. She looks right at me and says, you go in that room, babe. It's an A-frame. When you go in that room, it's an attic. It's an A-frame. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's an A-frame. As I walk in and crack my head on the freaking side of the A-frame, got it on the night vision cameras, and I'm just going to put it on a blooper room. It's priceless.
Right.
There's Jordan being an ass. It's priceless.
I like it.
There's Jordan being an ass, smacking her head on the wall with Lori telling her right there, babe, it's an A-frame.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I love it when crap like that happens, where you fall down the stairs. Oops. You know those stairs are there. You've now walked up and down these 5 times. You've been in this place 6 hours. You've walked up and down these stairs 5 times. You're coming down the stairs and your ass falls. And there you go. And I'm a big girl. I'm a fat girl. There you go. Boom, 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 boom. Down the stairs. Priceless.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I think my favorite one that I captured on film was I was at a school, Farrar School in Iowa, and I dressed up in a little schoolgirl outfit, and I was bending over to pick up my equipment. We were getting ready to leave the room, and so I bend down, and the camera guy freaking ripped a gigantic fart, okay? And, like, I started busting up, and, like, I told him that I hope that I just caught that EVP, you know? So I released it as the best EVP I've ever captured. And then, like, 2 months later, I end up investigating with them again. And I'm in a, like a freezer, like, you know, for a restaurant freezer. It was, like, down in the cafeteria. We were in the freezer. And he was ripping ass again in there. And then he said the second best EVP. So I released that. And, you know, a lot of people, they're, like, too embarrassed and ashamed of releasing it. I think that's the funny part.
Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, there's we've got a couple of them where, and again, me, I like what you, how you said it. I'm the retard, too. I shocked the hell out of my own.
Now.
Yeah, I shocked the hell out of my own self, but the one of the best ones we have are I'm walking up the stairs and I decide to bend over to pick something up right in front of the camera, and there's my big fat ass. It's like, whoa! You know, I think that one needs to come out. That's the scariest part of the whole night.
Now, do these facilities have showers? Like, can you actually stay there, sleep? Do they have a bed?
Well, yeah, the bed and breakfast, like I said, we pay for the room for the night.
Now, is that the one with the angry spirit?
No, that's the one with the nice spirits. The one with the angry spirits is an abandoned building. Well, sort of not abandoned. They use it for what it was is they contacted us. It's a haunted house, you know, where you set up the actor, you know, you go in, you pay your ticket, you go in and get scared at Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they came to us saying they were experiencing all kinds of activity and wanted to know if the building was really haunted. So we went in and investigated the building and, for lack of a better term, certified that it was haunted based on our evidence, based on the shit that we got. Oh, yeah, we got some activity going on in there. So they used that, you know, during Halloween, being the only haunted house, you know, gave us some radio time and stuff. They were really good to us because of what we did for them. Well, they then afterwards pretty much gave us carte blanche to the building anytime we want to go in. Anytime we want to do whatever now, between now and Halloween again, when it's up and running, it's, you know, so it's pretty much an abandoned building. All the stuff is still set up in there, which gives it a creep factor all its own when you're walking through the goddamn building.
Cool.
Yeah, you're walking through the building and you turn the corner and there's a ghoul on the wall that, you know, is a prop and it scares the crap right out of you. But it's a really cool place, but no, that's an abandoned building.
Oh, my God.
Half the time, they don't even have running water in there during the winter. So you kind of got to go pee down the street.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. But that's
bring the baby
the
wipes.
Place where Mr. Nasty Pants is that throws things. And he'll respond to you. I had an investigator stand up in the middle of the room, hold his arms up in the air and say, excuse me, say you want to scratch me? You want to come after me? Come and get me. Well, he got laid open. You know, then like you get what you get. You asked for it, you got it. But the spirit there will respond in that way for you because he's nasty. You know, he's
right.
Probably a nasty asshole in life, so he's a nasty asshole in death.
Yeah.
So, not that he's. We don't believe in demons and things like that, so it's I'm not. You know, it's nothing demonic. It's just a nasty spirit. He's a crap.
Yeah, there's a huge difference.
And that's what, you know, the other thing we have to tell people all the time, for some reason, demons. You know, is it a demon? Is it a demon? You know what, in all the investigations we've ever done, we've never run across one demon. You know, I mean, that's a whole other conversation and a whole other doctrine of belief, I suppose, for all another time. But, you know, it's pretty much they're just nasty spirits. You know,
I've definitely been in one place that had demonic activity. Changed my life forever. Changed my thought process. And in how I believe in myself as an investigator, you know.
So we haven't run into it yet. I mean, maybe isn't. Boy, I'm going to get backlash for saying this. Maybe someday we'll be fortunate enough to run into it, because I think it's an experience if it's there that every investigator should have. But we have yet to run into it. We just run into really nasty spirits.
Yeah. I have felt many people at Linda Vista Hospital. I would put it on the category of possibly demonic or just a really foul spirit. But have you heard of the Sally House?
No.
In Atkinson, Kansas. Very, 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 very bad house. Devil worshippers summoning Beelzebub. And a paranormal team actually took a 35-millimeter picture, and in the negative, from the guy that was taking the picture, the reflection in the window, there is, like, literally what looks like a demon towering over the sky, like the head, the horns, and everything. I saw things there I've never seen anywhere else. And
what's the name of the place?
Sally House. Sally's House.
Is it S-A-L-L-E-E or S-A-L-L-Y?
Y, I believe. Y-S.
I just, Kansas is like right next door to us. Wow.
Yeah, it's like right at the Missouri border. It's a really hard house to get into. I have been personally blackballed from it. I am never allowed back in because of how badly I behaved. Yep. I tore that fucking place up.
Well, that's right. It's real close to us because I could, I'd be in.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, you want to walk into Pure Evil and you think, like, I slept like a baby. I felt like I was completely at home, but I watched things happen there. I watched a phone lift up and fly across the room. I watched the guy's leg hair get burnt and him scream, and then you could hear the... You could smell the burnt hair. Something came up in the back of my neck and like that hissed at me really bad in the back of my neck. And then the guys that I was with literally had scratches all over their backs, all over their necks and their chest. They were sleeping with holy water and the Bible. And Bibles.
Wow.
It was crazy. And you hear places like, oh, the claims are this, this, and this, and this. And you go in there and you're thinking, yeah, it's not even going to happen. You know what I mean? And then when you start being able to put those pieces of the other claims together of your experience, it's pretty crazy. But there's definitely something so bizarre about that place, and I wish that I could get back into it, but I've been blackballed.
Sometime, Jody, sometime, I'm going to have to take you to South Texas to Yorktown Memorial Hospital. There is a very powerful upper-level demon in there. I've experienced it. Seen it the whole nine yards. It's there. It's bad. Bad. So You want to come to Texas? I'll show you a nasty place. There's a lot of good spirits there, and it's a very highly active location. But if you go at the big boy down there in the basement, the activity just goes apeshit crazy, and it'll start attacking people and whatnot. But yeah, it's a very evil place. And I wish I could have more cases or more experiences of just human spirits. I don't know. Like Jody and I talk all the time. She knows. There's something in the water down here in the part of Texas I'm in, because 90% of the time when I get a phone call, it's either something, the nastiest human spirit you can find, or it's a demonic case. I get pretty much all the bad cases that, no one else will take. So it is what it is, but I'll tell you, I'll take a good place where the spirits are cool and they want to talk to you. I'll take them over these, because these things, they just, you do case after case, it wears you out, boy.
Yeah.
Now, girls, what's some of the, you've talked about some of the experiences you had. Any other activity or unexplained things that's happened to you guys that you're just, you scratch your head afterwards going, man, how in the hell did that happen?
Oh, yeah, we have many. I mean, we did a house. The family called us into the house. They actually moved out of the house. And, there was so much activity in the house that we insisted by an electrician, exterminators, everything, because we wanted to just make sure. But that house was absolutely amazing. The tools in the garage would go off by themselves. The knocks, the bangs, we set up cameras and left them in there overnight. And I would have bet money watching the listening to the recorders and watching the cameras that someone had broke into the house. Just incredible, but there was nobody in there. I mean, we walked in there and you could smell in the shower. The shower was wet and smelled that sweet smell of soap and shampoo, but no one had been in the house. We knew that. We had the 24-hour surveillance cameras. No one had been in that house. But when we went in to take the equipment down, that's what we found. So we directly went out, watched the video, nothing, nobody, but just the noises, the sounds, and absolutely things that we can't explain. They then decided they were going to try to sell the house and things, so we never had a chance after that to go back. But that's still one of the ones that elude us, because we just never really, we had the history on the house, but we never really found out what was happening, and it'll be one of those to this day that eludes us on exactly what was it, but it was amazing, absolutely amazing. But we have many. We're out all the time. It's what we do. We're out all the time going to different places, doing, from residentials to businesses to places like, Jody was just telling us about. Anywhere that we can go and do it, that's what we do.
Right. What do you guys think about video and photography evidence that, a lot of teams will post it, on the net? I have a buddy of mine that actually took a photograph purposely and blew his e-cigarette smoke into the frame of the picture and took a picture and then posted it on Facebook. It didn't say it was paranormal evidence, but said, hey, check this picture out. Tell me what you think. And you went, there is so many people gullible. They're like, oh, you captured a spirit.
Oh, yeah, it was going on and on. We were laughing. I was with him when he did it.
Yeah.
And people were just, oh, yeah.
It's unfortunate. That's what I think. I mean, if you guys know this, when you have, you know, this is what we try to tell people a lot, too. They don't get this. They think that you go into a location, you're there anywhere from, what, 2 hours to, you know, 12 hours, depending on the activity you're getting. And what people don't get is if you're running, like we run sometimes up to 20 night vision cameras. If you're in a building for 10 hours at 20 cameras, that's all that video you have to go through with a fine-tooth comb. If you're running, we run 20 recorders throughout a building, 20 recorders at 10 hours. That's all of that audio you have to listen to. It takes weeks. Sometimes a reveal, getting the evidence done for a reveal for a client or even for ourselves can take weeks. And, you know, I think if people are going to start producing evidence, then they better spend the time to learn what you're looking at, to learn, you know, and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to... You just do. You, in the beginning, for instance, when we first started this, we very first started, you know, our house is haunted. The house Lori and I live in is haunted, very haunted. But when we took our first sets of video and saw all the orbs, man, we went nuts. We were so young. We were so green. We had a point-and-shoot camera, and we thought it was all spirit. And it didn't take long for us to spend hours to learn that 98% of orbs are dust. And, you know, so if you're going to put evidence up, I mean, have at it. Good for you. I mean, the competition thing we don't get. If somebody gets something that's real and it's tasty and it's fantastic, we're right there to be your biggest cheerleaders. But if you're going to put it up, then at least make sure you really have taken the time to really debunk it, you know, go through every scenario you can think of to find an explanation or whatever. And then when you know in your heart and your soul at the end of the day that it's unexplainable and that it's there's just no explanation around it, then go ahead and put it up for the general public. But I think it's unfortunate that people will see something like that. You know, I mean, that, you know, doing that on purpose is one thing, but there are people out there who would actually see that, smoke a cigarette at an investigation, take a picture, get it, and then post it as evidence because they haven't spent the time to learn. And that's what we find unfortunate, because it's not just something you can go out there, you know, stick your flash drive into your camera, your memory card into your camera, and then post everything you see as paranormal. Very little is. Very little is. And that's sad.
Yeah, it's hard to really capture something on a photograph, especially that can definitely be something other than something that we can explain off. A buddy of mine that I interviewed Sunday, Joseph Andred, he's been in the paranormal 30 years. He gets people sending him evidence all the time. Say, hey, what do you think about this? And he'll ask him, he'll say, well, were you outside when you took this photograph? Yes. Was it cold outside? Yes. Did you hold your breath when you snapped the photograph? No. Well, that's what it is. It's your breath. You know, simple things like that people, a lot of the teams, they don't know all that stuff, and they just, they don't think, you know, they don't use common sense when it comes to it. It's very rare to catch something on a photograph. It's very rare to catch something on video. Yeah, we can catch EVPs on the audio of a video camera a lot of the time, but unexplained things that happen on a video camera are very rare as well. I mean, yeah, you might catch something every now and then on an investigation. You're like, whoa, what the hell is that? There's a door that just shut, you know? But it's real hard, you know, and people don't understand that and take the time to, you know, even when they the team's like, they're hell bent, oh, this is paranormal evidence. You know, if you're really into the paranormal field, take that evidence, send it to somebody else that's not in your team, and have them give you an unbiased opinion of what they think. Yeah. And if you don't like that, then take it to somebody else and let them look at it. And if you're still getting the same response and they're like, damn, I can't explain that, then I'm telling you, then you have some.
And it's just, we tell people all the time, if you get one thing out of an investigation, One valid picture, one valid EVP. Well, then you had a successful investigation. You know, don't expect to go in and get, you know, just boatloads of evidence. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you have the, you know, end-all, be-all plethora of investigations where it's like, holy crap. And then, you know, other times if you're lucky and out of a whole night, you get one EVP or you get one still that you can't explain, and, you know, that's a successful investigation. But
yeah,
people believe that it's like they see on TV. You know, most of these guys in these TV shows, they're there for a week. You know, they're investigating that location for a week, and then they put the best of what they got in an hour show. Were there, what, a few hours a night? You know, so people don't get that either. It's very rare. Evidence is rare, and sometimes it's just not there. It's just not there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is your guys' thought process on shadow people?
In the true sense of shadow people, I'm not sure that we've ever, you know, had experience with the true sense of shadow people.
Right.
Well,
you know, some people do, some people don't. We always try to ask people, you know, if they've come in contact with a shadow person, you know, what their thought process is on shadow people.
To be honest, I'm not sure if I have a thought process on it, simply because it's almost an ignorant-based subject for me. We've never encountered it. We've never run into it. We've never had that experience. So it's not really. Well, hold on, Lori's giving me that look.
I disagree with that.
All right.
I think that we have seen them.
When real shadow people?
Oh yeah.
Well,
we had the one that came up the basement here.
Was that what?
That is a shadow person. It's not, you know.
All right, let's define. Okay, now because now that Lori is looking at me like she's going to divorce me. Define shadow person for me.
It's a figure that you see that's darker than dark. That, you know, even with your naked eye, it's darker than everything around it. And, you know, it can be a shape of a human form or whatever it might be, but it moves intelligently. It's not you casting a shadow, you know, or whatnot, because a shadow is not going to be darker than its environment. Because what's happening is when it's darker than everything around it, and it's moving intelligently, even in a body form, it's actually absorbing all the light in order to be that dark.
Well, I guess I will backtrack. I was going somewhere different with that. Where was it? You know where I'm talking about, the ones on the, like we saw on the Amy Allen thing where they're flat paper thing.
Oh, yeah. No, we never saw that one.
That's where I thought he was going with that. Okay,
people.
All right, I was going in. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about when you hear about the black paper thin people that they see. That's what I thought you were asking me about. So what?
Paper dolls.
Paper dolls, yeah.
No, we've never seen those.
No, I've never seen a paper doll. That's where I thought you meant the black paper doll things. No, shadow figures, then, for your definition of that, what is our take on it? The abandoned building that we were talking about, we get those there all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
And we do have a video of that type of darker than the dark, blacker than the black, take out the entire wall shadow coming up our stairs. We do have a video of that on our website, I believe. I think it's on our website. It's under our house. But we do have that video on there. I thought you were talking about those paper people. people.
Because you know, I've interviewed a lot of people, and everybody's got their own opinion on it. I mean, even Jody does too, because she's also into ufology, UFOs, and a lot of the abduction cases. One of the claims that people have is there's a shadow person in the room before their abduction, you know, and, you know, there's lots of theories out there that shadow people could be something that we're getting a glimpse of, something that's in another dimension that crosses through our dimension. And, you know, because science has proven that there are 14 different dimensions out there right now. So You know, there's all, you know, just get your brain just kind of stirred when you think about it. There's all different types of theories of what these things are, you know, because they're actually they're actually absorbing light. So they have to have some kind of mass in order to do that. It's not like a ghost that you're seeing through, you know. So there's a lot of interesting theories out there. So that's what we do. We always ask that to everybody that comes on the show that's in the field, because everybody's got their own spin, their own take, their own experiences with those type of anomalies that happen.
We've, you know, in that definition, we've definitely seen them. I don't think I ever have you before I answer this and get that look again. I mean, he's asking if your take on that is, it could the shadow people be from another dimension?
No, I think that's pretty much up to anybody's thoughts. You know, everybody has their own beliefs, and sure,
yeah.
Why not? You know, I have no clue. I mean, you know, I guess I'll find that out someday if I ever get on the other side. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say no.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, with our field, pretty much anything that I believe, you believe, or Jody believes, anybody out there, we're all going to have our own take on things in the world, right? And that's what's cool about the field is you can talk to, you know, I do the radio show twice a week, every week, all year. And every week, somebody will tell me something about their experience or their theories or this, that, and other, and it gets me thinking, you know, that's possible, you know. So it creates more questions, it creates more intrigue in our field, and, yeah, we're never going to find all the answers till it's our time. But it gives us something to think about, you know, until that day comes.
But I think it also is a great way for us to learn from each other. Because I don't think anybody is an expert. I think, you know, you can say expert till the cows come home. I don't give a crap how many years you've been doing it. But none of us are ever going to be. We're always learning. We're always going to learn. And I think learning from each other is the way to go.
And me, Jordan, you and I talked about this last time I interviewed you. You know, there is para-unity. It's not throughout the entire field, per se. It's probably going to entail a lot of these crappy wannabe teams fold up and the true investigators are there, left. You know, there's unity in botches. You know, everybody that is in the field has their friends, their colleagues that they don't have any drama between, and they can work together and have teams that they can work with that, you know, get along great. And there's where the unity is. It's everywhere, but it's not widespread. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Yeah.
No, I just figured the teams that slam other teams are just jealous. You know, they have nothing better to do. You know, and it's like, you know, we have never done that, ever. You know, I may not agree with the team. I may not even really believe in what they put on there. But if I would ever, in a million years, go on their site or Facebook or whatever and slam them, I would never do such a thing. That's just wrong.
Oh, I have people do it all the time on my wall. I have to, like, monitor it.
I lock it up.
I can't, like, just go and put stuff on it because I had people just continuously dropping shit off on my page. And it was like, are you kidding me?
Go get a life. You know, leave us alone. We're not hurting you.
I don't bother nobody. I just live my fucking life, man. Hey, I wanted to play something for you guys and get your take on what you think about ghost boxes.
Okay.
Do you guys use them?
Sure.
It's my favorite toy. You mean a spirit box?
I want to play something I got. Okay. Hold on. Yeah.
Do the other men here bother you?
We will skin you alive.
Oh!
Yeah, what do you think of that? What do I think of that? I think that's
a bunch of baloney.
That's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah?
That's my opinion, yeah. I think it's a bunch of, that's too
clear, it's too long, it's too, yeah.
Yeah.
No. The only part that was captured was the skin you alive, I'll skin you alive. Did you hear that?
Yeah, to me that's too clear. It's too pronounced. It's too clear. It's too put on.
So what do you think it was? What do you think it was?
Well, first, is it yours? Did you get it, or where did you get it from?
I did. I was at an event, and I did not believe in the ghost box, and I just took it for just to have something to do with them. And I had owned it for like a year, and it was just running for a couple of hours, actually, because I sat in the room forever. So it may have been like 3 hours it was going, and then it did that, and then it just died. And there was a room full of people there, and they all heard it, and that's why they freaked out.
You know, see, that's the thing.
It's so weird because there was, like, no activity all night, and then, like, all of a sudden, it felt like something came in the room, and the millimeters started going off. And so I said, I just felt like the guys there, I was like, you know what, guys, I don't get a good feeling about you guys, so will you guys provoke a little bit? So they were provoking a little bit. And then I said, do the other men here bother you? And then it said that, and then it just died. And, literally since then, my ghost box, it yells out my name all the time. It talks to me. It tells me other people's personal names, like, around me that are not normal names, you know? It's just weird shit. It tells me weird shit.
The spirit box is my favorite, is my personal favorite toy. I process things audibly better than I do visually. Lori is the one who does most of the video, all of the video and the pictures. You know, we try to train other people, but they don't seem to want to be as meticulous as we like. So I process better audibly, so EVPs and Spirit Box and things like that are my passion. And I guess, I'm not going to, maybe my take...
That's what I said, you have to find out where it came from, who did it, what the situation was. Now, if some other team gave that to me that I had no clue who the hell they were, I'd laugh in their face. But the thing was there. It wasn't given to her by some Joe Blow down the street. She was actually there to witness it. Now, if that happened to us, we'd believe it.
I
would say, yeah, that was real.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it's real or not. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's pretty fucked up, the timing of it. And just, the words.
When it comes to the spirit box... You have to, and you're trying to really use it. If it's not asked, a direct question, like the other night we investigated and, directly I asked for someone to say hello to me. I got a hi, Jordan. At the end of the spirit box session, I had been going around the room saying, can you, talk to any of my other team members? At the very end, I said, the last thing I'm going to ask you is, can you say hi to Lori? And Lori, just as plain as day, Lori comes across, the spirit box. And those are things that you have to ask. This is just me. This is just what I'm telling you that I do. based on the FM frequency that it scans at, you have to kind of go, what is the coincidence factor? What is the coincidence factor that one of these disc jockeys on one of these stations at 3 o'clock in the morning is going to say, hi, Jordan, specifically when I ask for it? Chances are it ain't happening. And the same thing with names when you specifically say, you know, can you say my name? Can you say hello? You know, the coincidence factor, in my opinion, behind what is, like when we got at that abandoned building, we got the name of a little girl because we specifically asked for it. And we got it in her voice. What are the chances at 3:30 in the morning that there's going to be an 8-year-old, you know, 5 to 8-year-old little kid saying her name on a radio station? So that's kind of how I go through the spirit box. You know, if I got that and I was in the room, you know, and I know for a fact the situation that you described, well, hell yeah, I'd use it. After I shit my pants, I'd use it. but, you know, that's a tough call because I wasn't there. You know,
yeah.
You have the...
Yeah, everybody,
you know,
that was there was just tripping out. And, like, literally everybody in the whole event, like, came running down because my entire room just lost it.
Yeah, because I don't think in the middle of the night there's a disc jockey that says, I'm going to skin you alive. And it could have been a very strong spirit. I mean, that's a very strong voice. Spirits can be very strong. They can lay that out there. And so then it goes on, like Lori said, the integrity of the person that's telling you. You know, if ABC Paranormal down the street were to bring that audio clip to me and say, this is what we got, I'd have a real hard time with that because I know nothing about ABC Paranormal or their integrity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm choosing to believe in your integrity and you as an investigator and just, you know, the absolute honesty that you have.
Yeah,
you
know, the other teams were in the room, so they got it as well on their recorder and on video. So, you know, we have several teams in there that actually got that as well. But, you know, it kind of made my little ghost box very, like, people love it when I bring that ghost box now, you know?
You know, what's crazy about Jody's ghost box is it's not the SB7 spirit box a lot of people use. I use the SB7. Hers is just a Radio Shack, Hack Shack radio.
Yeah. The old one, old school, man. Yeah.
And you know what? I would almost... For me, I'd almost believe more in the old school stuff that you capture stuff on. You know, newfangled stuff isn't always the thing. These newfangled equipment isn't always what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, I can't say as I actually like the other ghost boxes, the sound of them and the clarity that you can get from them. I feel like mine is really clear and here's another thing. I don't have it, like, to play for people, but I went into this school, and the girl that hunts there all the time, she was like, Jody, go in there and ask it if it wants a blowjob. And I was like, what? And she was like, just trust me. The nastier you talk to it, the meaner and fouler it gets. So I was like, okay. So I went in there. I was like, you want a blowjob? And literally, like, 10 minutes later, my ghost box said, the sports, the blowjob. And then it kept talking about eating. And so I said, you want to eat my fucking pussy? And it said, good. And I go, good. Throw me on the fucking table or the desk and eat my fucking pussy. And it goes really robotic. It goes, it would be beyond anything I could imagine. I was like, what? Fuck! It gets crazy. Like, it talks to me. It talks to me. It's crazy. It's crazy.
They don't sell those at Raiders?
No, they don't. And I've, like, been searching, like, every once in a while I'll go on eBay and see if anybody's selling them. And sometimes when I see a Radio Shack, I'll pull over and see if they've got an old one, you know, just that they still haven't sold or something.
I have an old Hack Shack too. I use the SB7, but I do have the Hack Shack as well.
I'd love one of those. I love it. I love anything that has anything audio. I dig. I dig a lot.
Yeah, audio is interesting. A lot of people don't really believe in them, you know.
Well, you know, I need to get that video out on the net so people can watch it, where I had the spirit box running, and the investigator that was with me just randomly pulled a coin out of his pocket. We didn't have our flashlights on, and he just said, call it in the air, heads or tails. And it said heads, and you hear the coin hit the floor, and then we turn our flashlights on looking for it, and we find it, and then I'll be damned if it wasn't heads. So you tell me how in the hell we get heads through the damn spirit box after we toss the coin up in the air. And then we turned the flashlights off and asked, what is the year on the coin? Because we didn't know. And because everybody goes, well, you know, if you think it could possibly go through, you could influence the spirit box. Well, if we don't know the date, we're not influencing shit. So, and then it said 1982, and we turned the flashlights on, and damn it, it was 1982 on that damn coin. So explain that, you know?
Yeah.
I would love that. I would love that.
Yeah.
But anything audio, I love. To me, that's worth that.
It's definitely interesting. It definitely keeps things interesting, you know? When you turn that on and you have an outlet for them to possibly come through and say something to you and something weird comes through, it's definitely exciting.
Yeah, here's some audio. Oh, I was going to share something with you real quick. I didn't mean to cut you off, Jordan. Here's something my team caught. Here you go.
No tag. That worked. You might just shave that.
That's tasty.
Hell tasty. They like to fart around.
Go ahead, Jordan. What were you going to say?
Oh, hell, I don't know now. I was going to say, when we first started, we got a spirit box and sent it back because we thought it was going to be one of those things where you turned it on and absolutely had a major conversation with a spirit. And like I said, it was those times when we very first started and we didn't know our ass from our elbows, not necessarily that we do anymore now, but it was worse then, and we sent it back. So then after, you know, logging in over 100 investigations and all this time, we got another one. And then it takes a long time. It takes hours to get the ear to learn what you're listening for because it is running through FM crap, you know. But that's, to me, I love it because, to me, that's a validation. Lori's, like I said, Lori's the video picture person. She'd rather see, you know, a picture or a video, and I'd rather hear it. So it's just the differences between us, and I guess that's what makes it work.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, audio's, it's probably, you know, besides your body, EVP recorder is a great tool to have. To me, just give me an EVP recorder. I don't need all the fancy gadgets out there.
That's me. I love them. I love my recorders and a pair of headphones, and that I'm set. Lori has to yell at me all the time. Why do you even pick up a camera? You know, you'll get the 3D. You'll have all the investigators have taken 300, 400, 500 pictures. You see my camera? There's four. There's four pictures. All my time on audio. Well, she's always yelling at me. So I try to make it one more, so maybe next time I'll get five.
Yeah, we take a lot of pictures prior to an investigation, and the reason being is I'll send an investigator in while I'm doing a walk with, if it's a building that we rented out or whatever it might be, a haunted location, the owner or the caretaker or whatever, I'll do a walkthrough with them, and they'll kind of give me the heads up on safety issues or claims, all that kind of stuff. Well, I'll send a couple of my other team members throughout the location and just take photographs of the rooms, you know, what's in them, where they're located and whatnot. And the reason being is, and of course it's during the daytime too, it's before dark. That way we have a log on photographs of where items are located. So if later in the night a chair that was just in the corner of the room all of a sudden ends up in the hallway, we're like, wait a minute. And we check that photograph and the some bitch was sitting inside the room in the corner and now it's sitting in the hallway, something's up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree. We do that. Lori and I do that on our pre-investigation as well. We just did a pre-investigation yesterday where we got some really cool stuff on our walkthrough, but we do that as well.
Yeah, it's a great tool to have just to have some kind of reference to the environment you're in case you got to have something to go back to, where the stuff was located, whether somebody on your team's playing a joke on you or, you know, somebody else is also in the building or whatever it might be. You've got to log on all that stuff. And I guarantee you there's a lot of teams out there that don't think of shit like that, you know. And one day it'll catch up to them because they'll be like, how in the hell, wasn't that damn ball sitting in that room two rooms down that hallway? Why is it over here now? Well, if you don't have any photographic evidence prior to the investigation, how can you even, it's just a personal experience. You can't really document it as evidence. But if you have before and after photographs, then you're like, okay, look, this is something really odd here, you know? But, you know, just like I said before, common sense, a lot of people don't have that. They don't think of little things like that, meticulous things that you should do in an investigation, you know? There's probably a lot of people that don't go, especially a client's home, go to a client's home and do readings of the house. Check where the EMFs are high at, if the house has got if it's got bad wiring, all those pre-things you got to do prior to an investigation.
Oh, I agree. I agree. You know, we just did an investigation where we walked in the building and, you know, went to a certain part of the building and the EMF was nuts. Absolutely nuts. And I've seen investigators who just will use that, you know, play video of the mel meter, the EMF meters, you know, play video of it. And I directly called the owner the next day and said, what's running underneath that room? You know, just to find out, because you have to. You have to know what you have to. You know, you're going to contaminate your entire investigation if you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was in an event one time with a bunch of different teams, and we were doing a public investigation, and they were with my team, and they called me over, and they said, look at our meters. They're just going nuts. Well, they were steady. They were pegged down on the K2 meter all the way to red, and they weren't moving. It was just steady, a steady signal. And I said, hold on, and I got my K2 meter out. And I went up the wall, and I traced the signal, and it was a fucking wire in behind the wall. I said, that's all that is, you know, and even my team, they get mad at me, but if I'm using the K2 meter as a communication tool, you know, there's so many things that can influence that meter. But if I'm getting, if I think I'm talking to a spirit, and I say, okay, light it up for a yes, you know, are you a female, and it lights up, right? I don't stop after that question. I say, okay, for purposes only, I'm going to repeat the question. Are you a female? Light it up for a yes. And if it hits it again, okay, now I'm getting validation. I repeat questions a lot. And, you know, or they'll say, oh, I got a spirit. The K2 meter's going off. And I'll say, hey, if there is a spirit there, can you back away from the K2 meter and stop the lights from going off? And then it stops. And then I'll say, okay, if you are here, can you light it up again? Light it up, and it keeps lighting up, and then I'll say, okay, stop. Back away from the meter again. And if you constantly get that notification, then you really got something going on, you know? I just don't go with one-shot questions at that K2 meter because there's too many things cell phones and whatnot, walkies that can set that thing off.
Oh, I know. Walkies crack me up. People just don't get the walkies will set off it. They'll set it off at all. They think they've got the most fantastic K2 activity going on, yet you watch them on video and they're talking on their walkies.
Yeah. So, you know, it's little things like that. If more and more people would think before they investigated, they would actually have more evidence that was credible, you know. But there's so many times that things are not credible. Just like when you video, and I know Jody, she's got some great filmers that go along with her, but when you're doing different experiments or whatnot, you know, you can't just zoom in on that investigator and them talking. You kind of have to pull back, get the whole room so you can show the location of everybody in that room and what they're doing, that they're not influencing a piece of equipment, you know, because if I zoom in on Jody and she's holding a K2 meter, how do I know somebody that's not in the camera frame is not playing with a walkie or something, setting it off on cue to get evidence, you know?
I do know, and we have to do that a lot. If we get something that we think is absolutely fantastic, you know, on a certain channel on the DVR, Lori will then take it and open up the entire DVR to find out exactly where everybody was. And more often than not, one of your stupid investigators was, you know, doing something dumb and you didn't get what you thought you got.
Yeah. Or in the case of Jody, she could be doing something crazy and nobody's catching her on film. But I know that doesn't happen. All the crazy shit Jody does is on film.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I did the dirty deed, I filmed that shit too. But I've never done it. Never have I done it. I've never seen
right.
those ones in a haunted place, but or on film. But hey, you know, if I were to engage in activity at a haunted place, I would go ahead and film it. I would want to see that shit, and I better put on a good performance.
Oh man!
Could you imagine that leaking out? Oh my god!
Oh, we're down to the last. We're down to the last three. Oh my god! We're down to the last 3 minutes of the show, girls. So if you guys want to throw out websites or any way people can find you,
well, they can find us on Facebook, of course, All Girl Paranormal Society on Facebook. They can go to our site at www.allgirlparanormalsociety.com. Full website up there. Go see me on Facebook. I shamelessly look at my likes every day. I do. I'm shameless about it. It is my identity. But we have stuff up there. I just posted a couple videos. If you go through all the other pages, you know, we've been doing a lot of sharing pages for some groups. We go through there, so there's some videos on Facebook. But there's a plethora of stuff on our website that's pretty tasty. Stuff that we pretty much are confident in and would have never posted if we weren't confident in it.
Nice.
That's where you can find it.
Wonderful. So I'm looking at that website you just sent me about the location, the bed and breakfast.
Did it work?
How far is it from Colorado Springs?
It's in Colorado Springs. Okay. It's in Manitou Springs. Manitou Springs is a little city inside of Colorado Springs. So,
okay.
Actually, I live in the city of Colorado Springs, and it's 15 minutes from my house.
Nice.
So it's right there. You know, take a look at it. You know, message me or call me. Phone number's right there on the site, on our site. It's on our Facebook page, too. Give me a call, you know, and we can get dates and stuff like that, and then I will be the one to go and talk to Brett on your behalf.
I might have, like, 6 to 7 people with me.
Okay. I will talk to him. I need some dates. And then I will talk to him and see what I can get him to do for you guys. But it's a phenomenal place. To investigate, you'd have to go in with us to investigate. And then when we all pack up and leave, we'll leave you guys there for the night to have your own little party.
Well, can you take us to that other place?
The building?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure we
can do that later. I'm interested in the building.
I think that, personally, I think you'd like the building the better. I mean, I just need dates, my friend, and to set this up so that I can get things arranged, but it's 100% doable.
All right. I'm excited because I just started looking up, like, hotels and everything in the area, and I was like, so weird how that happened. You know what I mean? Here I am.
You know, on a ledge is kind of pricey, as in to stay there. Like I said, to investigate there, we pay, you know, a flat rate to go in for the night, and we have one room or whatever. It's, you know, whatever your guys' budget is, it's kind of pricey you'd have to get like three rooms or whatever to stay there. It depends on what you want to do, how much money you want to spend. I'll help you out either way. We can hook you up with hotels around here. We can, you know, talk to Brett at On a Ledge. But I, you know, two different places to investigate, two different spirit styles. On a Ledge, they're sweet, they're wonderful, they're nice, they love us. The building is where Mr. Nasty Pants and the other little, you know, nasty spirits are.
I like Mr. Nasty Pants.
Yeah, but I could, you know, give me a call and I'll tell you a little bit more about the building, you know, and a couple other perks we have with it. Not something that I'm willing to lay out right this minute for the world to hear, but I'll tell you, give me a call.
Cool. Will do.
But yeah, I think
all right. Well, we're going to keep in touch.
Well, absolutely wonderful. And I want to come to Texas. You guys got everything out there in Texas.
Yeah. There's all kinds of places here in Texas that are haunted, trust me.
You know, I want really bad to do an asylum or an abandoned hospital. That's something that, or a big abandoned prison. So that's one of my bucket list there that I really want really bad.
Yeah. Your town always lives up to the hype. Zach, Nick, and Aaron, the Ghost Adventures went there, and they got the shit scared out of them too. So that place, it's definitely a good location.
Do they let you in for, you know, private ones, or do you have to go on a tour investigation?
No, you can. You know, you can get a group of people. I mean, you can get just a few people, but, you know, the more people that you bring along, the cheaper it is, I guess you could say. They charge a flat rate, you know, I think it's $500 or something like that for the night. But, just depending on who wants to go, right, if it's a small group, whatever it might be, you pay them the flat rate and the building's yours for the night.
And where in Texas is it? What part of Texas?
It's Yorktown Memorial Hospital. It's in Yorktown, Texas. It's a very, very, very tiny, tiny town. In fact, there's no hotels in that town to stay at. If you plan on investigating and going to a hotel, if not, if you plan on just hanging out in the haunted hospital all night, that's cool. A lot of us, we had to go to a neighboring town to get a hotel or whatever. But it's a cool-ass place. You can look it up. I believe they have a website.
Well, that's cool, and then I'll probably message you about that too, because Lori and I, marriage officially became legal here for us in May, and we already did a courthouse ceremony, but we're having a huge wedding on the Ledge. Yes, we're having a big wedding on July 20th at On a Ledge. And after that, we're going to plan a trip. We want to go somewhere big and major, and maybe Texas is it. Maybe
yeah.
Texas is it. Is it near Houston?
Yeah.
I mean, where is it? It's near Houston?
It's between Houston and San Antonio.
Okay, I'm just trying to, it's probably like a 2-day drive.
I would say it's closer to San Antonio than it is Houston.
Okay, so it's just probably a 2-day drive. That's doable. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. But yes, we are doing it at On a Ledge, officially doing the big wedding.
Cool.
That'll be good.
Uh-huh.
Now we'll see how much flack we get. Not only are we women, not only are we lesbians, but we're paranormal investigators. Boy, we're going to catch it for that.
Oh, shit. Don't worry about that, girl. Last year, I put that I was in a relationship with a woman, and I showed up with her at an event. And we both wore shirts and had no bras, so our nipples would be, like, poking out of them. And, oh, fuck, man, I caused a shit storm. I got so much shit. I had, like, 100 people drop me in over a weekend on Facebook. And, you know, it's like, wow, you know, like, that's how I'm to be treated, you know? Okay, whatever.
It is whatever. Live and let live. Live and let live. That's how we look at it. There's too much other real stuff.
My camera guy is gay, and I freaking love him. I'm all about gay. Go gay. Be happy. You know what I mean? But just fucking leave people be and be happy.
There you go. There's big stuff to worry about in this world, not who I tend to sleep with.
Right? Yeah. People can't help themselves, you know. Judge.
Cool.
As long as you're happy.
Well, thanks, girls, for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us again.
Hey, not a problem.
And I will probably message you about Yorktown because I'm thinking it's what I want to do.
Okay. Sure. We'll keep in touch.
All right. Sounds good to me, my friends.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Night.
All right.
That was awesome. They were awesome. And it was a weird coincidence that here I am today working on putting together a trip for Colorado. And I am looking at the area and where I'm going to be, and voila. The universe presents itself to me with what I need.
Yes. There you go.
And the universe has been pretty odd to me lately, and I don't know what to make of it, but I'm just going with it.
There you go. Just go with the flow.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they definitely, if they went to Yorktown, they definitely would like it because...
Oh, I'm sure they will.
It is freaking haunted. And if you want to get down and nasty with a demonic force, it'll definitely not back down. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
So, but if you don't fuck with it, then you have a pretty good experience with all the other spirits there because there's a ton of them. But once you piss the bad boy off, he's so powerful, he blocks out everybody. And none of them can communicate with me. You know, any kind of activity that happens, it's all him. So next week, We have paranormal investigator Julie Snyder will be on the show. And I got to get the booking again. I got two more weeks of bookings, and then I got nothing. So I got to start booking the next 2 months. The end of the month, we'll have the Debunker Boys from our own network. They're on Saturday nights here on URN Radio Network, and they will be on our show. And they get a lot of hate mail because...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because they call bullshit on some of the evidence that people put out on the net. They debunk it, and people don't like it. But at the same time, if they can't debunk it, then they promote that team. They say, this is good evidence. So it's a double-headed sword. But, you know, they have the balls to do it. They want people to realize that they're putting a bunch of shit out there.
Right.
So, but other than that, we are through for tonight. I got us all paid up on Blog Talk, so nobody else will have any problems with their shows.
Yeah.
And
all right, Mama, play us out.
Yeah, you got a song?
Yeah.
We'll play us out, Jody. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Never win first place. I don't support the team. I can't take direction and my socks are never clean. Teachers dated me. My parents hated me. I was always in a fight because I can't do nothing right. Every day I fight a war against a mirror. Pop star, all you have to change is everything you